Psalm 49 to the chief musicians, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will discuss my dark sayings on the harp. So that's the introduction to this psalm. And since we're going to be talking about riches, and kind of focusing on the things of the world, which are all around us, I wanted to just take us back to the main thing and begin with a song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, because we need to keep him in mind in face of all of these different things. So let's just sing along. The words are on the front page there, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I was struck by a couple lines in that song. First, my richest gain I count but loss. So talking about our riches, we see here, counting it but loss, pouring contempt on all my pride. The second verse, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. So with that on one hand, and the riches desire on the other hand, we proceed with this psalm. Verse 5 then reads, why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heel surrounds me? So he's talking about, why do I concern myself with those about me, really? And the heels, of course, that refers to really like Jacob, a supplanter, somebody who's trying to trip me up. Why do I fear that? those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches. Listen to this, verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother.
No.
Sorry, those of you who think, well, if I send in $50, I can save three people. They used to have some ads like that on some of the programs. Or maybe purgatory. Oh, if I get a big enough gift, somebody will get moved out of purgatory. I mean, this is all nonsense. But here, you cannot buy salvation, Bill Gates or anybody else, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly. And what did it cost the Father? It cost his Son and his blood. And it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally. Money can't make you live one more hour. It's been said, if you could come up with something that would give you an extra month of life in one generation, you'd be the richest person in the world. Because there's not a person around who wouldn't like another month at the end of their life, particularly the unbelievers. Really the unbelievers. They got all this money. And they can't buy one extra minute in their life. They can own and have established 15 hospitals and have all the top specialists in the world. They can extend their life, right? Money won't do that. Verse 10, he sees wise men die. He sees the foolish man die. He sees the senseless person die. And they all have one thing in common. They leave their wealth to others. You've heard the story about these guys watching this hearse go down the road in time of his funeral, and he was well known to be the richest man in the whole area. And they say, how much did he leave? And the other guy says, he left it all. Isn't that true? Also heard another little story. It reminds me of the importance of money. This is a story. Now, you know it's not true, because by the virtue of it, nothing in it is true but the point. Rich man gets to the kingdom of heaven, and he's all filled with smoke. He's gotten through the fire of judgment, but just barely made it. But he knows, man, all the things that I did, and I gave so much money to this and so much money to that, and I spent it here and I spent it there, and I'm sure I'm going to have that great, great mansion in the sky. So he gets up there, and St. Peter, this is why you know it's a story, St. Peter starts touring him through heaven, right? So he starts out in all of the fancy, big, luxurious mansions, and the guy is waiting for him to pull into the driveway for his, and he keeps going, and he keeps going, and then he gets to the medium size, and keeps going, gets to the small size, he keeps going, gets to the little bitty houses, and then the shacks, and then the lean-to. Here was just a lean-to, and St. Peter says, well, here's your place. And he said, what do you mean, my place? This is nothing but a tiny little shack. And St. Peter said, well, we did the best we could with the money that you sent ahead. Now, where is your investment? Is it investing in earthly things or in eternal things? Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. And have you been to Rockefeller Center in New York, or Graceland, looking for Elvis's body or whatever it is? Or maybe just Irvine Ranch, you know? They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. Just like the animals, we perish. Now we have a contrast here. Well, not first. Verse 13. This is the way of those who are foolish. We talk about the fool here. We talk about the foolish. This is the way of those who are foolish and of their posterity who approve their sayings. Now the contrast. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. That picture doesn't look so good, does it? Can you just see death feeding on these bodies? I mean, But the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, exclamation point. And their beauty shall be consumed in the grave far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. We're going to talk about redeeming at the end here today, but here's the key verse there. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. This is the overall lesson here in this, it seems to me. Not my wealth, not my accomplishments, but it's my knowing what he has done for me. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him, though while he lives, he blesses himself. And men will praise you when you do well for yourself. Think of the rich and famous. You could probably think of them in the past, you know, the Rat Pack of Sinatra and some of those who were living kind of high and thought, man, they got it made, so to speak. Well, where are they today? Not in a place, most of them, I guess. I don't know where they are, but if they're in outer darkness, that is a terrible place to spend eternity. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beasts that perish. Isn't that tragic, but isn't that true? God has created us. Every human is created in his image. Just think of that. In the image of God, how wonderful one life is. Every life. And yet if you don't know the Lord, you die like an animal. What this says here, he who does not understand is like the beasts that perish. The only difference is man is going to exist forever. The beast dies and is dead, is done with it. An unbeliever dies and he is existing forever. Much worse than the beast, much worse off than the beast. So the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, our salvation, that free gift, and may that shine forth through us. But let's spend these moments now praying as you're led to pray by the Spirit for the things the Lord puts in your heart. Lead us now, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we say amen to that. We come to the end of the hour. Verse 15 in Psalm 49 says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. So let us remember that as we sing this song, Fanny Crosby's song, Redeemed, how I love to complain it, to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So let us sing together.
My rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell.
Of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be. in his beauty, the King in whose light delight, who lovingly guards every footstep and gives me a song in the night.
I'm into that. Just reminding you of Paul as he's given the great doctrinal portion in the book of Romans, then goes on to the practical approach, and then closes, or not closes necessarily in the 16th chapter, but in the 12th chapter beginning. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, right, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a what? Living sacrifice. And that's our reasonable service, he says. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that's primarily through this. Why? That you may know, you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. In those two verses alone, you have all of the instruction you could possibly ever need to do what he wants you to do, right? So thank you for coming, so faithful. Thank you.